1 Kings 18 and verse 17. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." You remember this passage of scripture where, of course, the Lord led Elijah to get Ahab to bring the prophets of Baal up to Mount Carmel, where they had a showdown as to who was the true God, who is the true God. And, of course, the Lord answered by fire and burned up the altar and the offering that was there. And the people said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And what a great victory was wrought that day in the name of the Lord. But that's not what I want to focus on today. What I want to focus on is what was said to Elijah by Ahab, where when they meet, Ahab says to Elijah, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" In other words, he's accusing him that you're the problem here, Elijah. It's your fault that our nation is in the drought and all those different things that we've had, and it's your fault that our nation is floundering. And as we look around, we might even see that around us, that really the lost world around us and those who would want to take our nation in a secular direction more than she already is would look at you and me and say, "You guys are the problem." We'd have peace and tranquility without you around, which is the exact opposite of the truth. The only reason there is some peace and tranquility is because God's people are still praying for this nation and trying to be a light in this dark world that we live in. But they look at us as the problem. The truth of the matter is, sin is the problem. But with that in mind, you and I want to be like Elijah. We want to not be a troubler of our nation. We want to be somebody who helps the nation, a reason that God will bless. And Elijah was that in the nation of Israel. So if you and I are going to be that, what can we do to help our nation? And here's the way that I put it. This is the title of the message, How to Be Truly Patriotic. Okay? If you want to be patriotic, and I think we all do, okay, how do I be patriotic? Is it all about waving the flag? Well, I think that's a good thing to do. I like waving the flag. I like everyone to know that I'm happy and proud to be an American, etc. Is it all about supporting our military? Well, that's not a bad thing to do. That's a good thing to do. And you should support our military and appreciate the men and women who put their lives on the line for our country and for her causes. That's a wonderful thing to do. But I would say those are good things, but they're not the real way to be truly patriotic. You and I want to be truly patriotic. Here's what we need to do. We need to learn to pray. And I believe that prayer is one of the most patriotic things that you can do for our nation. Now, it may not seem like much. You won't win any congressional medals, but you will make a difference. And isn't that really what patriotism is about? It's not enough to wave the flag if the country's, being burned to the ground. It will do no good. But prayer will make a difference. And so I want to share with you tonight just some ways that the Lord laid on my heart, four different ways that we should pray for our nation if we want to be truly patriotic. How can we pray for her? Because it's not enough to just say and to just pray, "Dear Lord, please bless our country." I would encourage you to be more specific in your prayers. Okay? So I want to give you some things, four things tonight that we can pray about. We'll be brief with this, okay? But I want to share those things with you. Let's pray before we do that. Dear Lord, I do ask that you would help us to learn to pray and help us to be patriotic people that are here for the good of our nation, that are an asset to her. Lord, that you could do great things in this nation because of your people. Now, Lord, I pray, would you use this message, please, Lord? Use it in my life, use it in the life of my family, use it in the life of all of us here, that, Lord, we would become a people of prayer for our nation. And, Lord, would you even teach your people through your word other ways that they can pray for our great nation? And I thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. The first one is, if we are going to pray for our nation, the first thing that we should do is pray for our leaders. I think that was probably an obvious one, and more than likely that's one that you would have already guessed. But the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, I exhort, first of all, therefore, that that prayers be made for those, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We were told from the very beginning, from long ago, that we should be praying for our nation. I want to encourage you to do that. Pray for our leaders, if you would. And you might say, well, Pastor, who are the leaders of our nation? The obvious ones that come to our mind are the politicians, right? We ought to be praying for the politicians. That means we ought to be praying for our president. You hear this all the time from this pulpit and other pulpits like this one, where, you know, we may not like the president that we have, we may not appreciate what he says or does, but we ought to pray for him. We ought to pray that God would guide him. And we ought to pray that God would cause him to do good things and right things and godly things. And I'll be honest with you, I'm disappointed in what he's done. I don't think he's leading us in the right direction, but I need to pray for him anyway. I've mentioned this to you before as well. We ought to never speak ill in a derogatory fashion of the person that God has allowed to be the leader of our nation. Again, we may not agree with him, we may not like him, and I'm telling you, he and I stand on completely opposite ends of most things. But I hope that I can say with an honest heart, I will not speak in a derogatory manner towards him. Whether he's stumbling over his words, I'm not going to make fun of him. If he's doing this thing or that thing, I'm not going to call him an idiot. Other people who are lost, they'll do that, but I cringe when I hear it. You and I should never do that. We ought to pray for the man. We ought to pray for our vice president, right? We ought to pray for our governor. We ought to pray for our mayor. We ought to pray for those who are our politicians. That's a pretty obvious one. And when you pray for them, pray, say, Dear Lord, cause them to do right. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But not only our politicians, there are some other people that we don't often think of to pray for, and that is we ought to pray for our judges. Our judges. Our judges as in Supreme Court justices. We ought to be praying for them. They need to make wise decisions. And again, I don't always agree with them. And some of the things they've done recently, I've thought to myself, boy, I wonder why they did that and why they didn't allow that case to come forward or whatever. But we ought to pray for them, not just Supreme Court justices, but even lower. Judges have a lot of influence and they make big decisions. We ought to pray for them, the ones who are here locally in our county and in our smaller districts. We ought to be praying for them because the decisions that they make affect us. And God wants us to pray for them. If I want to be patriotic, I'll pray for our politicians, our judges. But let me even go beyond that. We need to be praying for our social leaders. Whether we recognize it or not, we're not just led by politicians. There are people who are not elected and who are not even in government, but they affect our daily life by the way that they lead and the social influence that they have. Normally, when we think of that, we think of probably some pretty negative people, and I won't use any names, but there are some people who, in my opinion, are charlatans who are called leaders in our society, and I think they're in it just for the money. But honestly, listen, folks, there are people that we don't even think about, they're a leader. We ought to be praying for them. Ask God to bring those people to your mind and pray for the social leaders. And then here's another one who are a group of leaders that we ought to be praying for in our nation, and we ought to pray for the pastors of our nation. Pastors are leaders. Pastors have an influence on people, and we ought to be in prayer for the pastors of our nation, whether they're pastors of independent fundamental Baptist churches or even other churches. We ought to be praying for them, that God would lead them and guide them to preach the truth and preach things that will benefit the people and help the people to point them towards God and godliness and those things. We ought to be praying for our leaders, and that's biblical. Now, you might ask, Pastor, how can I pray for them? What should I pray for specifically? Let me give you a couple of ways. First of all, pray for God-fearing men to be exalted. Pray for God-fearing men to be exalted. They don't have to necessarily be Christians, although that would be great, wouldn't it? That would be wonderful. But at the very least, that they would be God-fearing. Pray for them to be exalted. And there are some out there. They are around. And pray for them to get into places of authority and position where they can make determinations and laws and enforce the laws. Pray for the wicked to be put down. That's a biblical prayer. Read the Psalms. It's biblical to pray, Lord, put the wicked man down. Don't let him have a place of authority. And there are some people in this world who are just truly just wicked people. And they seek positions of power. We got to pray, Lord, put that person down and put a God-fearing person into a place of authority. We got to pray for God to direct those who are already in authority to do God's will. Is God able to turn the heart of the king? Yes. Is he able to turn the heart of a politician, a judge, a pastor, a social leader? Absolutely. God is able to do it. God's able to do it in a miraculous way if we'll give God the opportunity to by praying and asking him to. Okay? So pray for them that way. And then here's another way. Pray for the counsel that the wicked would give to those in power to be turned into foolishness. Have you ever noticed that our desire for our leaders to do right is countered by the desire of those who are wicked for them to do wrong? They're getting pressure from both sides, and a lot of times it's more pressure on the other side. Now, it's good for us to contact our leaders and put pressure on them to do right. That's a good thing to do. But you know, one of the other things that we can do is pray that the advice that the wicked side would give would be turned into foolishness. And you say, Pastor, where do you get that in Scripture? We'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. Let me show you that in Scripture. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. You remember as King David was fleeing from Absalom in 2 Samuel chapter number 15 and verse 31. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 31. David is fleeing from his son Absalom, and his counselor Ahithophel has turned against David. And verse 31 of 2 Samuel 15 says, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Let me ask you this question. Did God answer that prayer? Yes. Wouldn't be long, and Ahithophel would no longer dwell on this earth. And his counsel was truly turned into foolishness. Was David's prayer elaborate? Nope. Was it long? Nope. But it was a good prayer. God heard it. God answered it. You know, that's something we can pray for. Lord, there are people in this country who are giving advice and counsel to our leaders to do wickedness. Lord, would you turn their counsel into foolishness? That's a biblical prayer. I would encourage you to pray that. I would encourage you to seek God's face about that. Now, we ought to pray for our nation's leaders, if we want to be truly patriotic. Let's move to point number two. We ought to pray not only for her leaders, we ought to pray for our nation's churches. We ought to pray for our nation's churches. What happens in places of worship just like this has a huge impact on the society around. In fact, I would say what happens here is more important than what happens in City Hall. And I think it's not even close. What happens here is more important than what happens in the State House, which is just a few miles away. What happens here is more important than what happens in Washington. What happens in those places will be affected by what happens here. Now, we're not the only church. There are a lot of churches that all collectively, if we will be right here, listen, if we will be on fire, we will make an impact. It's not even close. Again, we are a church on a Sunday morning after COVID. Our attendance has not been what it was before COVID, but you know, we have easily over 120 here on a Sunday. The early church in the upper room were about 120. And what did God use them to do? Is God different now? Is he weaker? Is the world more wicked? No. The world's not more wicked now. They were in a Roman culture. Study that for a little bit. Listen. And they were an oppressed people. And we have freedom. And yet God used them to turn the world upside down. If churches like ours, listen, that's really the answer to our whole nation's problems. If churches like ours would get on fire, what a difference it would make. I believe our country would turn around. I don't know what the number is, but I know we have a few churches on fire here, a few there, a few, you know, spattering. But as a general rule, if churches just like ours would be on fire for God, if we would be less worried about, you know, again, what's going on social media, and less worried about what's going on in entertainment, less worried about, you know, all the different things that we concern ourselves with, if we would be truly 100% on fire for God, to where we were consumed with Him and His glory. And I'm not just talking about, yeah, I want God's glory. I'm talking about consumed with God's glory. I want Him to be glorified above everything else. If that would happen in churches like ours, our nation would be turned around in an instant. We got to pray for our churches. And listen, I talked to the director of the Wisconsin Fellowship of Baptist Churches, which is only covers a portion of the Baptist churches in our state. But I talked to him just the other day. He told me that they, just in their little fellowship, have 14 churches without pastors. 14 churches in the state of Wisconsin, just from their little fellowship. No pastor. Oh. And that's just their fellowship. The fellowship that I hang out with is a different fellowship. And we have a couple. And that's just independent Baptist churches. Churches that are hurting and struggling, and whether that's pastor's fault, whether that's people's fault, I don't know. All I know is no wonder our nation is in a hard time. We need to pray for our churches. You see, we are the body of Christ. We don't have time to look at all these passages of Scripture, but 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, we are the body of Christ. In other words, we're Christ's body on this earth. If Christ is going to get anything done, where's He going to do it? The local church. That's it. He's not going to use politicians. He's going to use the local church. He's not going to use public schools or this entity or that entity. It will be the local church. We are the light in this world. Ephesians 5:8 tells us that we are children of light. We are God's spiritual army. Ephesians 6 tells us that we wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm sorry, not against flesh and blood, but rather against spiritual things. So we are God's spiritual army. We exist to bring glory to God. As a local church, that's what we're here for. We got to be praying for local churches. Lord, would You anoint their pastor with power? Lord, would You fill him with power as he preaches? Would You cause him to be right and not fall into sin? Pastors around our nation are falling into sin. They're causing problems, and it's marring the name of Christ. Listen, we got to be praying for those pastors. Lord, keep them right. Keep them out of sin. Help their marriage to stay together. Listen, there is a great oppression. Who was I talking to the other day? It was a young pastor who's new to our state. I had lunch with him the other day, and he's a good young pastor. I think he's going to do a good work. But he mentioned to me, he said, you know, before I became a pastor, I would study for messages when I was filling in for, you know, the church I was working at and all that. And he said, man, messages would come to me, boom, 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 boom. And I could sit down and I could study it out. He said, as soon as I became a pastor, I sit down to study and it's like, I can't study. It's a spiritual battle. Satan's after him, putting pressure on him, etc. And listen, there is a spiritual battle. There is a darkness. There's a cloud that sometimes comes. We need to pray for the pastors of the churches. Pray for the members of the churches, that they'd be faithful. Listen, we're spoiled around here. Pray that God would strengthen the members to be faithful, to be there, to be participating in the offering, participating in the soul winning, participating in the ministries of the church, the vacation Bible schools, etc. Pray for her churches. We go on and on with things to pray for churches. But if we want to be patriotic, pray for her leaders, pray for her churches. Thirdly, and this is important, pray for our nation's repentance. Pray for our nation's repentance. If you want to be patriotic, pray that God would bring our nation to a place of repentance. Again, we do not need more God Save America rallies. And I'm not against those necessarily. We don't need more God and Country Sundays. Again, I'm not necessarily against those. But that's not the answer. What we need are more rallies where it is America, turn to God. Turn in repentance to your Savior. That's what we need. And we need to pray for that. And I listen, that to me is a miracle that I cannot imagine happening. But yet I know God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. So I ought to ask. God's able. God can bring our nation to repentance. And you know the answer to this. If we as a nation will repent, how will God respond? With mercy, with grace. He always does. That is his nature. We could go with some examples, but I won't take the time for them. That's just God's nature to give mercy when a nation repents. So we ought to be praying about that. And I want to encourage you, if you want to be patriotic, spend time asking God, God, please bring us to a place of repentance where we'll turn from our wickedness and our sin. And I know God will respond well. Then the fourth thing that we can pray for if we want to be truly patriotic, and this is a hard one, but I think it's an important one, stay with me on it, is we need to pray for her judgment. In other words, judgment upon our nation. We need to pray for her judgment. That's a hard one to pray for. But friends, I'll be honest with you, I think it has to come. I don't think it's a situation where we can say, God, just pretend like all the things that we've done never happened. It has to be judged. And when I say it has to be judged, what I'm specifically talking about, this is the major one to me, but there are other ones that I think God cannot let go. And that is the innocent blood that has been shed. If you follow the God of the Bible, you know whenever innocent blood was shed, God said, I have to deal with that. You look at the nation of Judah. Manasseh, the Bible says, that one of the last kings of Judah shed lots of innocent blood in the land. And God gave time because of repentance, but eventually God said, I have to deal with that. And we as a nation have been shedding innocent blood for a long time, specifically in the realm of abortion. And I want you to understand, I think everyone here understands this, but it is true that abortion is the murder of a person. It is the murder of an innocent person. And I hold no hard feelings against young women who have been put in a position where because of the wickedness of a young man and perhaps the absence of her father, who should have been protecting her from, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing, and then was put in a position where she was pregnant in an unwanted situation and scared and told by her superiors that it's okay to have an abortion and then went through with it. I don't hold any hard feelings against a young lady who is in that position. Listen, my heart breaks for a young lady in that position. That would be hard. But it's still a murder. It's still sin. And it's not that that individual person is going to have to bear all the brunt, but it is as a nation, we as a nation that allow this to happen, we have to be judged. And it's sad, and I wish it weren't the case, but I think we need to pray for her judgment and say, Lord, bring it. Bring the judgment, because here's what will happen. It will be good for our nation if judgment comes. It will be good because there's a potential when judgment comes for a nation to then what we prayed for previously, which was repent. But we won't repent as long as things continue to go well. At least I don't believe. It's like a child who's in rebellion and continues in rebellion. You know, there's only one thing that's going to deal with that bad attitude that that child has, and it's, you know, it's called the woodshed. That child needs a spanking. Otherwise, nothing will fix it. And as a nation, we've been rebellious against our God. And I think the only thing that will bring us back to God as a nation is if we see some judgment. And I think we ought to pray for that. I think we ought to pray, Dear Lord, I don't want it, but it does need to come. Lord, because here's the thing. What would be better for God? That our nation continues to have all that we have right now, and we continue to march on the road to hell that we're on. Will that bring glory to God? Or if our nation faces judgment and turns? That would bring glory to God. And my interest, and I hope yours is as well, as a patriotic citizen, is I want my nation to bring glory to God. I'm not feeling all warm and fuzzy inside just because my nation is prosperous and free. I feel warm and fuzzy inside when my nation brings glory to God. And I would hope that you would join me in that. So that's a hard thing to do, but I would encourage you to do it. And I would encourage you to look with me at Habakkuk, all right? This will be our last one that we'll look at, and then we'll be done. Habakkuk, chapter number 3. Habakkuk, chapter number 3. As we pray for God's judgment, we can include what Habakkuk said here in Habakkuk 3 and verse 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And if God included that in the scripture, in Habakkuk's prayer, do you think that was by accident? Or do you think that our God put that in the scripture so that you and I would know that he wants to, in wrath, remember mercy? And we can pray about that. Lord, bring judgment. But Lord, in wrath, would you remember mercy? And I promise you, he will. God is good. It is his nature to show mercy. And yet, he has to show wrath. But if we'll humble ourselves before him, he'll show mercy in the midst of the wrath. And you know what the interesting thing is? God is able to take something that we look at now and we're scared about and we say, boy, I don't want judgment to come. But our God is the kind of God where he can actually take that and turn it into a blessing. Where we get to the place where in the middle of that judgment we say, this is the best thing that could have ever happened to our nation. Because look at the repentance. Look at the turning to God all around us. Look at the souls that are eager to hear the gospel. Look at the holiness and the righteousness that God has brought back to our nation. Look at what God has done. And we could actually be thankful for a judgment. And that's the nature of our God, to in wrath remember mercy. So if we want to be truly patriotic, let's pray. Pray for our nation, her leaders, her churches. Pray for her repentance and pray for her judgment. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you have given us such a great nation. Lord, would you teach us even how to pray for our great nation? Lord, would you teach us to love her enough to pray for the things that are important, not just to pray generic prayers, but to pray true prayers that are according to your will, that you can answer, that we can rejoice in the answer. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bring our nation to a place of repentance. Lord, bring that judgment that we do deserve as a nation. And then, Lord, would you also cause us as a church to be a holy people of God, that you can bring glory to your own name through us. Lord, I thank you that you will. Now, Lord, I just commit these, your people, and this evening, I commit this all into your care. I ask that you would even bless our time of fellowship here in a few moments. Bless the refreshments that we'll have. Keep each one safe as they go their separate ways. If there's activities yet tonight, if there's activities tomorrow, keep each one safe in those. Heal those who are sick. Lord, we do pray, especially for Brother Adrian, that you would heal him and, Lord, the discomfort that he's been under. We pray for our sister Pat, that you would just encourage her and meet her needs. Dear Lord, others as well who just need you, I pray you'd heal them. Thank you, Lord, that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.